And if you could turn in your Bibles to chapter 8 of the book of Daniel, and we're reading from verse 15. And came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision, and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Eli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood. And when he came, I was afraid, and fell upon my face. But he said to me, Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me, and he set me upright. And he said, Behold, I will make thee to know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up, and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So far in our journey through chapter 8, we have considered Daniel's, if you like, his recall of his second dream and vision. He recalled in his vision a conflict between two world empires, symbolized by the ram, which represented the alliance between the Medes and the Persian, and the goat, that symbolized the Grecian empire. We saw previously that the alliance was powerful, conquering all that went in their way. No other nation was able to hinder their advances. And as Daniel was considering the actions of the ram, the he-goat appeared. He read that it moved so quickly, it did not appear to touch the ground. The Grecian Empire was ruled by Alexander the Great. Alexander was recognized for his brilliance in battle strategies, and looked upon by some as a living god. With Alexander as the ruler, in a very short period, a period of 3 years, they conquered the whole known world. The Lord God had blessed Alexander, but he failed to acknowledge God's blessing. We read that his campaign started when he was 22 years old, quite young. But then he died quite early, age 32, as decreed by a sovereign god. His kingdom was then divided into four divisions, and four generals took authority over those four divided kingdoms. As individuals, they were very successful in their campaigns. They say success leads to success, but it can also lead to overconfidence. We were told that out of one of these four kingdoms, another kingdom would arise, a little horn. And he was very successful, and they said because of his success, became overconfident. He decided to attack Egypt, but he was defeated. And in his anger and frustration, he attacked Jerusalem. He burned part of the city. He commanded daily sacrifices in God's temple to cease. he insisted on the worship of pagan gods rather than the worship of Jehovah. He killed many righteous Jews, creating confusion amongst God's people, and certainly in the head of Daniel, which brings us to today's message, the interpretation of that vision. If you remember, calling on your memory, Daniel was projected in his vision to a palace in the province of Shushan by the river of Ulai. It was something that hadn't even happened, so it was all in the future. As we follow Daniel's recollection of his dream and vision, we've been able to fill in some of what Daniel saw in his vision. As we continue to follow Daniel's desire to understand his vision and what was the meaning of it, we will see what prophecy has been fulfilled and what is yet to be fulfilled. So, verses 15 to 17, we have instruction for Gabriel. As Daniel was pondering about his vision, we read there appeared before him a man, or what appeared to be a man. It was the angel Gabriel, whom we know as a divine messenger. God instructed Gabriel, to give Daniel understanding of the vision. The description of the vision had started in verse 2 and was concluded in verse 14. And as a result of what Daniel had seen and heard in his vision, he desired to have an understanding and the meaning of that vision. However, before Gabriel could give him the interpretation, he was overwhelmed by glory. As Gabriel, in response to his command, approached Daniel, Daniel fainted and fell on his face because of fear. Scripture tells us that Gabriel was in the presence of God. He was sent as a messenger to Zacharias and Mary. As Moses reflected God's glory, perhaps Gabriel also reflected God's glory, causing Daniel to fear. The revelation of God can appear in different phases or different senses, but God's revelation should never be a case of take it or leave it. When God speaks to us, it may cause us to collapse, but we have the assurance that with divine assistance, we will be revived. In Psalm 91 and verse 15 we read, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. When God reveals truth, he also provides the strength to bear it. Daniel collapses under the weight of glory, but Gabriel touches him and sets him upright. There can be, and probably will be, times in our life when God's truth overwhelms us. It might be through something we're doing and the conviction from God's word. It might be a revelation. It might be something to do with responsibility. It could be because of suffering. But God do not leave us in a collapsed state. He revives, he steadies, and he strengthens us. He lifts us up. A revived Daniel is told that the vision refers to the time of the end. As Gabriel started to provide the interpretation of the vision, Daniel was in a deep sleep with his face toward the ground. Sometimes, speaking for myself, you might have a dream and then you wake up, but you cannot remember what you fully dreamt. You cannot understand, but there is little bits in your head and you're thinking about it. Daniel, however, is not left in the dark. Gabriel touches him, sets him upright and promises, I will let you know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. We're living in what might be termed chaotic times. We have the ongoing problem in the Middle East, problems between Russia and Ukraine. And recently there was a veiled threat to Britain from Russia. All these are driven by human desires. Let us never forget that there is a sovereign God and he is on the throne. And the rise and fall of nations, ancient or modern, unfolds according to God's decree. One might say his timeline or timetable. The last end of the indignation and the time of the end. What do they mean? What do they refer to? Are they linked? They do refer to the same period. The term indignation first appears in the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 28. And we read there, "And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day." Indignation refers to the period of history during which God is indignant or angry with Israel because of their rebellion against him. It is a time when God chastens Israel, usually at the hands of Gentile nations. The indignation includes Israel's conquest and cruel treatment by Assyria. A reference you can read later is found in Isaiah chapter 10. And also Israel's conquest and captivity by Babylon, which is found in Zechariah chapter 1. And it will continue through the end of the tribulation period, the end of the Antichrist rule at the second coming of Christ. When we all go through hardship, but sometimes people can interpret hardship as, and I'd say misinterpret hardship as God abandoning us as an individual. When most parents discipline a child, the reason is to set them on the right track. Daniel 8 demonstrates that fact. It is God's desire to redeem his disobedient people, to set them on the right track. A gracious God's desire is to show his mercy to an obedient people. The time of the end refers to what might be termed God's sovereign timeline for Gentile domination, when Gentiles are the predominant power in the world. The two run parallel until Christ's return. Or put another way, indignation is the title of God's program for Israel, and the time of the end is the title of God's program for the Gentiles during the same period of history. Gabriel told Daniel that his vision referred to the latter portion of the indignation. It can be taken that the indignation, if it's a latter portion, could be divided into at least two parts, the former and the latter. The former portion of the indignation included the Assyria and Babylon captivities of Israel, and the latter portion would stretch from the end of the Babylonian captivity to the second coming of Christ. Daniel received his vision during the former portion of the indignation, during the Babylonian captivity. But the rule of Medo-Persia and Greece domination were to take place during the latter portion of the indignation. Through his vision, God revealed to Daniel that his indignation with Israel would continue for many future years. Gabriel used the phrase appointed for the time of the end. It is a reminder of the sovereignty of God. God determined when Israel would be chastened, but he also determined that that chastening would end. Gabriel begins to interpret specific elements of the vision. For Daniel, these were future realities, but for us, some of them are fulfilled prophecy. Gabriel told Daniel that the ram represented the Medo-Persian kingdom, a coalition of two countries. The two horns symbolized the king of those two countries. The rough goat symbolized the kingdom of Greece, and the great horn between his eyes is the first king, Alexander the Great. The four horns that replaced the broken horn on the head of the grape symbolize four kingdoms, which would result from the division of Alexander's kingdom. And after that, some refer to his death as being untimely. That's Alexander's death. In doing so, there is a danger of forgetting or ignoring the sovereignty of God. Gabriel declared that none of the rulers of the four kingdoms would rule with the same power as Alexander. They might have been powerful, but they certainly wasn't in the same bracket, if you like, as Alexander. In the latter time of their kingdom, that is the four kingdoms, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, that's the Jews, refer to the Jewish apostates, not to pagan Gentiles. Daniel is shown the Greek Empire in its declining phase, the arrival of the little horn. The little horn came out of one, remember this, the division of the four, came into four, out of the four, there would arise a king, the little horn. He would appear during the latter period of the four divided kingdoms, when the transgressors would come to the fore. God acknowledges the errors of his people. Israel's rebellion was reaching its peak. They have transgressed God's laws, and God's chastening hand was about to fall. The characteristics of this little horn. The king portrayed by the little horn would be of a fierce countenance, understanding dark sentences, and shall stand up or appear. The prophecy concerning the king of fierce countenance was fulfilled by Antiochus. This is also known as Antiochus Epiphanes or Antiochus the Fourth. He was known for his cruelty, erratic behavior, violent persecution of the Jewish nation. This was reflected in his attitude and actions towards God's people. Understanding dark sentences, apparently, is a Hebrew idiom for cunning, deceptive intelligence. Antiochus used political manipulation, bribery, intrigue, in order to seize power. He was not the rightful heir. His ascent was by illegitimate and crafty means. Though Antiochus' character matched some of the prophetic description, a more evil person is in view. Not all threats to God's people come in the form of force. Recently, there was a report of some churches being subjected to this type of invasion. Individuals claiming to be Christian were made welcome into these churches. Once accepted, their true characteristics became evident. They were anything but Christian. Churches need to be aware, to be careful in discerning between charm and real character. Antiochus appeared during the latter period of the divided Greek kingdom. His rise coincided with a deep spiritual decline among the Jews, many of whom embraced Greek culture, pleasure, and pagan practices. Empires rise and fall, but not because one ruler is smarter than another, but because of the sovereignty of God. You may have been conscious of the fact that I've used the phrase sovereignty of God a few times. I must admit that I've been certainly conscious and appreciative of God's sovereignty during the past few weeks. Not necessarily in big things, but may it long continue. The horn would appear when the falling away from God of rebellious Jews had reached its peak in the latter time. The judgment of God's people was filling up to the point where its delivery was inevitable. As mentioned earlier, the persecution carried out by Antiochus was part of God's chastening hand on his people. Gabriel says his power shall be mighty, but not his own power, a clear indication of satanic involvement. He would bring shocking devastation, he would prosper in wickedness, and he would destroy both mighty men and holy people. He shall prosper. Success does not always mean divine approval. He shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Royalty and religious leaders, Levitical priests, were destroyed during his reign. The prophesied power seen in Antioch and will be seen in the Antichrist will be delivered from a satanic source. Antiochus insisted on the worship of pagan gods, killed many in authority. God's people may suffer under unjust rulers, but never outside God's control. No doubt difficult to understand if you are undergoing that trial and suffering. But let us remember Psalm 91 and verse 15. He will call on me and I will deliver him. God sees all and he knows all. He persecuted faithful Jews, murdered priests, defiled the temple, attempted to wipe out Jewish worship. Satan's attempt to prevent the coming of the Messiah. Antiochus enjoyed a considerable degree of success militarily and in persecution of the Jews. Among the righteous Jews, there must have been confusion. As it would have appeared to them, he was free to do as he pleased. He could prosper indefinitely. But remember, as we noted earlier, the only reason Antiochus could prosper in his abuse of the Jews was the fact that God had sovereignly turned over the Israelites to him as part of his punishment for, if you like, his indignation, as the word used, against Israel. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper. History has recorded that part of Antiochus' success resulted from his use of diplomacy, alliances, and false promises. As I mentioned earlier, some of this prophecy of Daniel's vision was what was to come. Some has rarely taken place, hence we can fill in certain details. God's people must look to God for a peace that passeth all understanding, rather than that promised by human assurance. His pride, he shall magnify himself in his heart. Remember the saying, pride comes before the fall. Antiochus took the title Epiphanes, which means God manifests. He minted coins declaring himself as divine. Empires have fallen when those in authority have become filled with selfish or false pride. His blasphemy, he shall also stand against the Prince of Princes. He stood against the Prince of Princes, the Most High God. He desecrated God's temple. He erected a pagan altar. He replaced sacrifice with offerings of pigs. He tried to establish the requirement of worship for himself as a god. However, let us remember, as I've said, I've used it several times, God is sovereign and there is an end. The little horn will not be allowed to carry on his bold activities indefinitely. Gabriel declared, he shall be broken without hand. Again, from history, Antiochus died suddenly, and it wasn't through human intervention. Historical account agrees that his death was caused by a variety of different illnesses. but it wasn't caused by human hand. God's judgment caught up with the persecutor of God's people. Antiochus is an historical figure, but he's also a typological figure. At the conclusion of the interpretation, Gabriel emphasized the fact that the vision concerning the 2,300 days of Israel persecution by Antiochus was true. In other words, the vision portrayed would take place in the future. Daniel needed that declaration, for it would have been difficult for him to believe that Israel, God's people, would continue to be subjected to be chastened for so many more years. Gabriel commanded Daniel to preserve the vision. The word translated shut up in some of the Bibles does not mean to hide. God does not give revelation to be hidden. It means instead to preserve, to keep safe. Daniel was to record the vision in a permanent form, written, so that it could be preserved for future generation. The reason for the preservation of the vision was this vision dealt with future events that would not be fulfilled for many days. And the fact it did not begin to be fulfilled until 380 years after Daniel received his vision. And then, if you like, the truth began to come home to the people of Israel. Daniel is told to preserve the vision for future generations. Today, the church also has a responsibility to preserve God's word. How can we do that? Through the study of God's word, through the faithful teaching of God's word, and through the practical demonstration by living according to God's word, passing it on to future generations. Daniel's reaction to the vision. He was, if you like, emotionally agitated by his vision, so much so that he fainted and was sick in bed for several days. After he regained his strength, he returned to his duties in the service of the king, but he continued to be astonished by his vision. Even though Gabriel had interpreted the vision for him, Daniel still could not fully understand it. His mind evidently would not switch off. It was going over in his head. He continued to be perplexed. Couldn't understand how God would allow his people, his loving people, to suffer, to go through all these trials. But God reveals to us enough for us to be obedient, but not necessary so that we will have a full understanding of everything. He reveals enough that we should be obedient and follow. God's people might suffer much, but they can have the assurance that there will be an end to it. A sovereign God has decreed that there will be an end to the suffering. God's everlasting kingdom will be established. Worth noting, the little horn of chapter 7, going back a few weeks, and chapter 8 are two distinct verses. The little horn of chapter 7 is the Antichrist, and the little horn of chapter 8 is Antiochus Epiphanes. In closing, I'd like you to picture in your mind the vision of a funnel. And now I want you to picture what we have considered being poured into that funnel. We have the rampage of the ram and the goat. Mixed with that was the rampage of the little horn, the desecration of God's temple, the persecution of God's people, the pride of Antiochus. Put all that in our funnel, and what emerges? What emerges from the funnel is the sovereignty of a gracious, merciful, and loving God. The suffering of God's people is real, but Christ's victory is ultimate. May that be an encouragement to each of us, for we know not what lays ahead for either of us. Our sovereign God rules. He has promised that those who put their trust in Him and call on Him, He will answer, and He will be with them in times of trouble. He will rescue you, and He will honor you. Amen.